You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the first day of the new trading week, and what a quiet one it's been. And it's mainly quiet because of the lack of participation from our friends in the United States of America and also the United Kingdom. It's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. For the first time, I didn't really look at this screen today because I knew it would be fairly dull. Although what's not dull, Nick, is the S&P futures up over 1%.
Yeah, Lindsay, good evening. No, it's a very, very quiet day. It's difficult to, I guess it's always difficult to get going, but it's even more difficult to get going with the US shut for Memorial Day, UK bank holiday, a couple of Asian markets shut. But yes, as we speak, S&P 2988 to their front month future, that is less than 0.5% away. I just get the feeling, you know, traders love round numbers. They love pushing markets to round numbers. And, you know, this is obviously one of the most traded equity index in the world, the S&P minis. And I just think they want to see what they call a 3,000 print. They just want to get it there. Where they get it there and it hits the stops and we sell off with rallies, I don't know. But you just get that feeling when I wake up tomorrow morning when we chat and it's going to be 3,000.
It was round numbers, 3,400 at the beginning of the year, just before the you-know-what hit. It went down to 2160, 2170. So from 3,400, let's call it 2,200. Let's round it off. 3,400 to 2,200, that's a 1,200-point move. And now we're back at, I can't call it 3,000 because that's wrong. It's still got a 2 in front of it, to 2,990, I'll call it. An incredible bounce back. I mean, what are the percentages we're talking about here?
Well, it's a third, isn't it? It must be almost, it's over 30% from its drop. It's lost a third and it's bounced back once again, almost 20-odd%. I prefer to look rather just at the dates, Lindsay. I mean, if you think about where, I mean, it was only, I'm just trying to look back at my charts now. When did we actually break 3,000 to the upside? Because that's more interesting too. Because I remember all the sort of fun and games when we finally did it. You know,
November, wasn't it, something like that.
So let's have a look here on my screens. It was, end of November. You're right. So end of November, and that was like this. You know, we broke the 3,000 level, and you know, you see the pictures of the Americans when they break the Dow. You know, they put their cap already been printed and all the rest of it. So it really. The fact that we're back up there now, and it was actually the 1st of November. So it was actually the 1st of November when we broke through and we closed that day at 3,023. The fact that given everything that's happened and the numbers that have come out of the last 8 weeks, that we're now about to break 3,000 again, I actually found it quite staggering, quite frankly. And I actually can't equate my little trading brain can't figure out the numbers that I've seen and witnessed in the last 8 weeks to what we're seeing in the equity markets now. It's difficult to marry one against the other, Lindsay.
It is quite extraordinary. And I find it difficult to give a case for the market continuing to go from here. But I've been saying that for the last 200-300 points on the S&P, and I've been completely, utterly and hopelessly wrong, and up we go. But again, I'll keep on saying, is there any reason for it, especially when the United States has displayed itself in all its true glory over the Memorial Day weekend with people not observing physical distancing or social distancing, people in swimming pools and chucking things around? There'll be a spike. There'll be another spike in coronavirus, unfortunately, infections.
There will be. I mean, that puts, and this has been my biggest concern with trying to model and factor in for my own sort of peace of mind, how to put money to work in this market is a lot of the stimulus packages, a lot of the rescue that's been thrown at this market by central banks and various governments around the world, Bank of Japan all across to the Fed. It's only sort of that one gameplay option. You know, it's implying that we throw money at the problem, we bounce back, and we carry on. It hasn't implied that we get a second spike or third spike, or as we head into Northern Hemisphere sort of winter and September, October, we get another recurrence. None of that's priced in. The gameplay is we bounce back and that's that. And that's what concerns me, is that we haven't factored this in. And yes, you see it splashed all of the front pages of most of the websites. I mean, the Americans, Memorial Day, day-to-day holiday, I mean, they're having a really good fun, but not a mask in sight, I must tell you.
When you see, I'm going off at a tangent here, when you see a trading statement or a set of results coming out of the blue at 5 o'clock or 2 minutes past five, in other words, when the JSE is closed, what do you say to yourself? Do you say to yourself, well, they're being responsible because they want people to sit down overnight and digest the information, whether it be bullish or bearish, and therefore not press buttons erroneously and distort the share price? Or do you say to yourself, well, that's because they don't want people to be able to trade immediately because it is so bad? Now, I've just seen something from Nampak coming out.
Truers as well.
And Truers, yeah. Let's start with Nampak. Mm. Have you seen this? It says here, headline earnings per share from continuing operations expected to decrease to between 3.9 cents per share and 10.4 cents per share. That's quite a big double compared to restated 130 and 119.7. Anyway, it's a really big fall.
Yeah, so to go back to your first question, my experience is normally when you get an earnings announcement or some sort of release from a company, the worst time to do is usually after the close on a Friday evening, because you usually do not want the marketplace to react accordingly. And I must tell you, on a quiet day like today, to release something after 5 o'clock when they have had the entire day to release it, does make me question. No, those Nampak numbers, I mean, the first glance, I mean, those are a shocker. They are miles off.
Unbelievably bad. Yeah.
And bearing in mind, this trading statement is only up to the end of 31st of March. So this is not even including the coronavirus nightmare of April and May that a lot of these companies like Nampak. And Nampak, funny enough, I do feel a little sorry for them, but this is really an SA Inc. play. I mean, if you like, you know, Southern Africa, you like the story, you think it's a good things are coming, you'd buy something like an Nampak. I mean, this number just, you know, scares me quite a lot, actually, to be honest.
Headline earnings per share expected. Yeah, exactly. Headline earnings per share expected to decline to between a loss of 1 cent per share and earnings of 1 cent per share compared to the headline earnings of 115 cents per share for the prior period.
I'm reading here, so am I reading this right? So loss per share of between 406 cents and 413 cents per share. Is that right?
406.7 cents per share and 413.6 cents per
And the share closed at R1.18. Sure, that's a nasty number. And the year to date, I mean, that share price, talk about being in the price. I mean, it's down 83% year to date.
Okay, get prepared for 90% year to date. Mm. Truest internet. It's almost as though when you do the 5 o'clock thing, it's like you're saying, you meet someone, you say, how's it going? Oh, everything's fine, etc. By the way, and you say something under your breath. Because this is a sort of an under-your-breath announcement that's just come out. Well, let's hope it's already been priced in and clever people knew what was going on anyway. But Truworths has come out with a business update and trading statement at 17:02, 2 minutes after Nampak. Is it a bad one? I haven't looked at it yet. It's coming up on my screen now. Have you looked at it yet?
Yeah, I said a quick glance, sort of while you were speaking, a quick glance at it. Sees reduction of at least 30%. So that's 174 cents, R1.74 in HEPS. Continued to prior period reported HEPS of 580. I don't see what period this is, which always concerns me. I want to know if this is up to like end of May or at least end of April, not March. It doesn't actually say prior period, so I'm presuming it is the first quarter. And once again, another one joining that infamous club and saying it's unlikely that a final dividend for full year will be declared. I don't know. This has been one of the standout shares, though, Lindsay. It's been one of the better performing ones. Their management have really been good. We'll see what it's done on the day.
Michael Mock and his team. Michael Mock's a really good retailer, I have to say.
Yeah. No, these guys are on a slightly different lead. Look, year to date, I guess roughly in line with the rest of the retailers, is down 50%. Share was down no more than the markets, the rest of the retailers today. What is that? There we go. So turnover in April was slightly lower than last year. That came out this afternoon. Yeah, I guess we'll know more about it tomorrow morning. But David, you're right. It's solid, you know, just a good run business. But in this environment, I mean, I think no one's immune from it. That's for sure. But another one, not happy to see no dividend again.
No,
especially among these retailers. I think Spar's the only one that's kept good on it.
Let's have a look at the spot prices at 5:15 on a Monday. 17.67 is the dollar rand. British pound against the rand, 21.54. Euro rand is 19.25 and euro dollar 109 exactly. The Dow Jones futures up around about 1.2%. The rest of the markets, well, the US is obviously closed today, but we've got the FTSE down 0.4%. Oh, no, it's not. Of course, it's closed.
No, it's closed,
well.
Yeah.
Sorry, the DAX is up 2.5%. Is that right? Yes, that's
correct.
Right. DAX up 2.5%. CAC 40 in Paris up 1.8%. I suppose people that can't trade the FTSE are going to the other European major markets. And if we look at the commodities, the gold price is down $3.50 to $17.31. The platinum price is $8.26, down $4. Palladium is what, Nick Kunze?
Bounced back quite strongly, 1.75% up currently, $35 firmer. It's 1,980.
Very nice indeed. The West Texas Intermediate crude oil price is up 1.1%. Brent crude is up 0.8%. So that's the commodities out the way. What news did you see today outside of what we've just been talking about? Any gossip, any sort of nuggets of information that you want to impart?
I tell you, Lindsay, it's been very quiet. I mean, I've had a bit of banter. We have a sort of online messenger chat amongst brokers on Reuters called Icon Messenger. Bloomberg has a similar one, Bloomberg Messenger. And the general feeling has been everyone's a bit nervous buying in this environment, and a lot of people have missed this bounce, and a lot of people don't want to put money to work. So the general comment was the last week or two, there's been north of 20 billion value traded. I keep picking up news stories from our erstwhile colleague, David Shapiro, telling me that all the kids are busy trading and punting and everyone's got broker accounts.
Yes.
But between me and my sort of circle of friends, I don't know who's buying, where's it coming from, and because I certainly haven't seen that sort of price action. So, I mean, that's the general banter around this, the virtual water cooler at the moment, Lindsay. Is someone's buying this, but we don't know where and we don't know who the locals are. But it just seems very thin.
Top five major moves on the upside. RCL, the chicken company, well, diversified food company, but anyway, we know it as a chicken company, up 8.33%. Distel was on the top this morning and has now been knocked off its perch into second place, but still up nearly 6%. Exxaro, a 5.4% winner. AECI up 4.3%. And Altron, 4.25% higher. Lots of rumours of corporate activity there. On the downside, Liberty Holdings down 8.3%. That's a huge move. Vivo down 7.2%. Tiger Brands down 5.75%. It's just been selling, relentless selling, even in thin conditions all day. Anglo Gold Ashanti down 4.33%. And Redefine down 4%. Anything there? Why is Liberty Holdings down 8.3%?
I don't know. Didn't see any news. Let me just go on
the
screen.
It's not an ex-div, is it?
No, they haven't said anything across the wire since the 14th of May, so I don't know why that's selling. Mm. No idea. Difficult to read any sort of movements today, quite frankly.
Okay. I'm going to ask you in a moment to give us the indices and the volume, but I've got a feeling that the volume is going to be fairly skinny. But give us the indices first, if you would.
Yeah. Okay, so we're still hanging on this Monday morning by the fingernails to the 50,000 level on the all share, closing down just 73 points. The number there, 50,074. The top 40, that was down 0.17% or 80 points, 46,351. And a bit of a mixed bag today, no real direction. Consumer cyclicals leading on the indices up 1.94%. Basic materials up 1.29%. Energy shares up 1%, and healthcare leading up 1.18%. On the downside, industrials were soggy all day, down 0.5% on that index, and also financials 1.31% down, and finally telecommunication services down 2.75%. And ring the bell, I think this is the lowest volume we've had for 2020. Just 11 billion value traded on the day.
Okay, and let's put that into dollars. What is that, 50 million US dollars?
When you say it like that,
52
it
million
terrible.
US dollars? No, seriously, is that what it is? I mean, I'm hopeless with all these noughts.
We are such an insignificant number. Let me see this. 11,
put 11 billion divided by 20.
Let's call it, well, let's do it 17.6. That's where.
All right, 18 then.
Yeah, 64 million rand.
Dollars.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I was talking to Garth McKenzie earlier on, and he did an exercise. He's obviously bored at home with his kids. He said that there are 74 stocks that consistently, only 74 stocks on the JSE Securities Exchange, which consistently trade 20 million rands worth, which is $1 million a day. There's only 74 stocks that consistently break that that number, $1 million a day. It's actually very sad.
Let me give you the exact numbers, so just so we don't get any funny, just so no one puts us out. So the value traded in dollar terms using the current exchange rate was $627 million worth. So
what am I doing?
Just, yeah.
Oh, 620, so over, I've got too many noughts in the way. Okay.
Look, it's just over half a billion. But, I mean, on the scheme of things, I mean, you get some. I mean, I think Tesla shares trade about, at some points, they trade more than their market cap on a daily basis as a punter stock. And that is close to $80 billion worth. So put that in perspective. One share in America.
$627 million worth traded today on the JSE.
Quiet day.
Yeah, indeed. Nick, thank you very much for your analysis this morning and this evening. That was Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.